Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Sunday Podcast, brought to you guys by sportshoes.com. As always, I am back. Matt, thanks so much for covering me. I've been enjoying listening to a few bits of your episodes, mate. Have you enjoyed it without me?
Well, I'm surprised you managed to set things up this morning, mate, and you hadn't forgotten how to use the software.
Mate, it feels like it's been a while, but it's because of the World Cup, mate. That's why it's just stretching out time.
Yeah, it has been a while, mate. No, it's. I guess a lot's happened in those few weeks as well, especially in the running sphere, because I can't remember when we... I think, yeah, we'd had... Keely had obviously been beaten by Vero, but since then, I feel like Vero's gone from strength to strength. Femke Bowles run her 155, mm-hmm. and obviously Keely gets beaten in the pre-classic. I mean, that's the storyline, which is capturing the sport at the moment, and I love it. I'm so here for it. You know, I feel like the men's... For me, the men's 1500, that men's 15 mile, we're all just waiting for Josh Kerr to attack this world record. Look, Cam Myers is doing incredible things, but there's not many rivalries. And actually, the fact, unfortunately for Keely, she is in the middle of a rivalry, which is now being created. And it's more just looking at the ups and downs of what it is to be a top flight, world class, mid-distance runner. What Keely, you know, where she is at the moment, what it showcases or what it should tell a lot of people is just how bloody hard it is to win these races time and time again. Like, we do as fans, we do just take it for granted a little bit when someone like Keely goes and wins 8 Diamond Leagues on the bounce. We're like, oh yeah, you know, it's but you look at how difficult it is. You know, she was up against a world champion in Eugene, she's up against the fastest woman ever in 40 years over 800, you know, and then she's now going to have to contend with, come the European Championships, Femke Bol, who is just a freak of nature and only getting better as well. So the women's 800 for me now is just, it is the headline event. And of course, we'll wait and see what Josh Kerr does. But yeah, it's been a really entertaining couple of weeks. Every time they step onto the track in the 800s, you know, it eyeballs are there.
Yeah, it certainly has, mate. And what's exciting for us is that it's the Europeans that are attacking. Keely is really exciting, because I think in normal terms this is like an off year, but actually the European champs is going to have probably the best three in the world. So we're not, Keely's almost not getting away with it like you might in a normal year, where it's like actually there's people like taking you out of Diamond Leagues, but you're still going to sweep Europeans. You're going to be absolutely fine. Europeans going to be a proper race. Obviously she's not doing the commies to focus on those Europeans. It's going to be interesting, but I think we spoke about it the other day after the race. And look, over 800 meters, apart from Rudisha, who has actually had like consistent periods at the top?
Yeah, well, I think definitely the likes of Wanyonyi is, you know, he's one of the best 800 runners we've ever seen. I know what you say about Rudisha. Lum's argument here is Keely's only won one major.
That's
2024.
What I mean.
She won the Euros and she won the Olympic Games, and that's all she's won. The only gold medal she has.
So that's not me against Keely, but I almost think we hype her up in a way that's making her seem better than she is, and then when these races happen, we're shocked. But when you look at it, I'm like, well, maybe we shouldn't be so shocked. Like, and she's an amazing athlete. That year, like you say, winning the Olympics, that's the pinnacle of the sport. But that's the only year where she really nailed
dominated.
But I think we kind of, after that, because we thought she might do it a few years on a bounce and didn't, we kind of look back and think, oh, she won loads. And she
won, yeah. So she, yeah, I think, you know, that was 2024 was a great year for her. She won 2022. She did end up winning the Euros, didn't she? After she lost the commies, lost the world. And obviously, yeah, Tokyo second. So yeah, it's funny. Like, I spoke to Rinaldi on the weekend, and, you know, he even said himself, you know, is those your top flight 800 runner, you probably get 1-2 years at the real peak of your powers. And racing wise and competition wise, was 2024 Keely's peak, because everything aligned. Like, she was so much better than everyone else. She wasn't as fast as she is now, but actually the people around her weren't as good. And now you're looking at it and you're like, yeah, I mean, Vero, even Bol could continue improving. I mean, Georgia Bell looks great. Lillian Odira is clearly a problem. She's now got a great record against Keely. Beats her at Worlds, beats her in Eugene. But look, I'm also conscious to not Healy loses two races and it's like, oh my God, you know. But you can see how difficult this season is going to be for her to navigate now. And if she comes out and wins the Euros, that is a testament of her quality and her ability to cope with pressure and navigate this sport. Because, it's now, you know, at the start of the season, wins world indoors, runs a world record indoors, and it's like, this is going to be the Keely era. And then look how quickly this sport changes.
Yeah.
It is so difficult. And
it's that, and it's also then coming out and saying, well, because basically it's an off year, we're going to attack records.
We're going to attack records, and now it's looking like she's not in a position to break those records. Yeah. Do you think she does a London Diamond League? I'm not so sure.
Nah, I think we don't see it till she's ready, which I think is the right move.
Yeah,
I was surprised we actually saw her at Prix.
They have to run Prix.
The British champs. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Mm.
And she had that fall in training in between the two as well.
Which means she probably hasn't trained as much as she'd like. And clearly, the head wasn't there at British Champs. I don't even know if that was an injury. I don't think the head was there at British Champs.
No, yeah. And, well, it can't have been a proper injury, right? Because...
Well, she was back. Yeah, it wasn't a proper injury. So, I think a lot of that was mental.
Yeah. And I think it was more than when the time sort of paces came out for Prix. And you realize it's right on the limit. I'm thinking, in the field that it was, I know she got beat. She need to do that. She need to set that out and say, I'm going for XYZ time.
I agree.
I think it'd have been smart to just win that one in a more tactical type race, maybe.
Yeah. She's going to, I think Keely is just going through this transition period where everyone is still expecting her to make that first move, and she did it at Prix. She did it. She makes a move on the back stretch, goes into the lead, and then only to get attacked by Adira. And I think in order to get back on top and start winning races again, I think she probably has to step away from sort of having that mindset of, I'm going to run away from this field, and more going, okay, to win this, I know I can win this. I know I'm better than these girls on paper, but I need to leave it as late as possible. I probably need to respect this field as much as possible as well. And just be a little bit more patient. Treat it like you would that first championship, you know, where you're trying to make your first final or you're trying to win your first medal. Whereas I think at the moment she's expecting to run away from these girls like she has done over the last few years. And she, for one reason or another, doesn't seem to have it. Sounds like she's had a pretty interrupted period of training anyway. So that's, and look, going to Prix is never nice. Like, it's a long travel over there, jet lag, all of those things. Like, we saw what happened to Georgia Bell. She didn't cope very well with the travel. This is an athlete who just run 3:55 and won the Paris Diamond League, you know. So I think it is a tough one for Europeans to go over there and perform. Hence why Nikki Hiltz wins the mile. You know, she's. I don't think she's winning a European Diamond League. Faith Gay was quite poor, but yeah, the Keely story continues for me, and I'm excited
like
to see where it goes.
For the sport, like, it's good that
it's very good for the sport.
We're creating more narratives, and we don't know who's going to win this thing. But it's one of the things you still wouldn't bet against her Europeans, would you?
Wouldn't bet against her Europeans. I think it's funny. She could still. I do worry about Vero being almost just too fit too early. Like, she run 2:153 already. Vero, for me, will be the favorite European, just given everything that's happened and given where Keely is. I think
that plays into Keely's hands as well, I think.
Yeah. Another problem for Keely is going to be Femke Bol. Femke Bol, every 800, has just gone through 400. I think she's pretty much raced Vero, I think, in two of her eights anyway. So she's kind of just chased. And every time she's getting further around the track, you know, she started dropping off at 400 on her first one. Then it's 500. Then it's 600. And that last race they did where Vero runs 153.8 and Bol was 155, I'm looking at that going, Bol made it to 650 in that race pretty much. And then, you know, and then started to fade. And at Euros, you know, give her another 6 weeks. Another 5 weeks, there's every chance she's making it. There's every chance she runs 154. If you're running 154 in a championship race, you're definitely amongst the medals and you're putting pressure on. So,
do you think the rounds affects Femke more?
I actually don't, because I think
the timetable was kind enough.
I think Femke is so, I mean, this is a lady who does like the four hurdles, which is probably just as hard as an eight, and then does like a mixed 4x4.
Yeah.
She's used to racing about six races in a major champs. So I don't think the rounds affect her at all.
No. Yeah, no, I think you're right there, mate.
Yeah, oh man. And the only other person who might fancy that 800 is Georgia Hunter-Bell. I would love to see her, just because at Europeans, the 800 is going to be the race to win. It is. It is going to be, you know, if you win that, that is going to be the one. That person is going to go down in history. That race is going to go down in history. So if Bell wants to bring herself into the mix, I think that would cause, they say they're friends, but that could well cause carnage in the camp, because a big name will miss out on a European medal.
Mm.
And it is possible. When I looked at the time till again, I think the women's eight is very early on and the women's 15 is next. So it is possible given Georgia's credentials.
I always say I want to see Georgia double up at every champs,
because the Europeans is a little, it's still going to be a hard race, but it is a little softer, and
this is the year to do it this year.
Yeah, and then do it this year and see if you could do it.
Yeah,
see if you can do it,
because Georgia Bell is also the type of athlete that I feel like if she gets a medal in the first one, she's going to be so much better, get more out of herself in the next event anyway.
Mm.
I feel like she just thrives off that momentum.
Yep, she does. Didn't have much momentum on the weekend though. Down in eighth place, gets beat by Sarah Healy.
Didn't look like her. It was almost like the that European indoors where she just looked. You kind of expect when they're running down the back straight, you're expecting Georgia to start gliding past and then getting herself in a position to strike with 100 to go, and she couldn't get there, and then with 100 to go, she moves really wide. But just it's not moving right. But I think,
the thing is, at this level,
travel and stuff like that.
Yeah, the travel.
It's same for a lot of people. Like,
no, I know. But the thing is, back in the day, you wouldn't have to do Diamond Leagues all the time. Whereas the sport is in a weird place, and this is the only reason we're seeing Keely get beat is she. Unfortunately, the only races Keely can now do is Diamond Leagues. You know, she can't go do a BMC. She can't do like a low key. She can't even do a low key world tour. She can't go, I'm going to stay local. I'm going to pop across to Italy tonight and I'm going to race an 800 and I'm going to practice some tactics or I'm going to race a 50 or something like that. You know, every race she does, she's up against someone who is Olympic medalist, a world medalist. And so if you are,
this is what's been crying out for, isn't it? We've said this is what needs to happen.
I think so. Yeah, definitely. So she hasn't been able to just, you know, after British champs, I think the last thing she really needed was pre-classic. After not, you know, after pulling out British champs, clearly, maybe there's a small injury there. Maybe there's just mentally a bit of a wobble. You just need to ease your way back in. And
if, because you're saying she has to do it, and we understand that there's the pressure to do it, and she's obviously a Nike athlete, et cetera, but not the problem is with the sport right now is not everyone has to do it.
Look, prime example is, you know, some of the girls who did pre-classic, like we haven't seen much of Dorcas Awoy this year. We haven't seen much of Lillian Adira this year. You know, so there are other athletes out there who are not regulars on the circuit.
No. So I think until the sport changes where they say you're all signed up to the top league, whether it's the Diamond League, whatever.
Grand Slam.
Yeah, quite. Until they say that and you have to do every race, we almost can't use that as an excuse for them. But I look at Josh Kerr. He's someone who, he never does anything unless it's right.
Yeah, he's got the advantage of being a Brooks athlete. I don't think Brooks sponsor any Diamond Leagues.
Do you know what I mean? I'm sure they pay some decent money.
Not as much as Nike. I don't think their pockets are as deep. But no, yeah. I agree, mate. Let's move on from the pre-classic. I mean, the Paris was insane. Any other results we should? There are a lot of Americans at the pre-classic, which I do find a bit. The men's mile, Cam Mize dominates. Then you have Nagus, Ethan Strand. I'm a big fan of Strand and Parker Wolf. They both had a good pre-classic. I thought Chariot would run a lot better. Cole Hocker's down there in sixth place. Are we worried? No. Cole Hocker said he's going to go for the world ultimates and he'll probably be in a place to win that, I think, by September. And yeah, he's had a slow start to the track season, but he's, and again, pre-classic probably came for him. He didn't quite say those words, but came on him a little bit too quick. He's been building back after injury. I think he said he's only had about 5 weeks of proper training. So he's running 347 miles. So watch out for him late season.
He doesn't know running his training anyway. All he does is cycle in a sauna. Should be fine.
Yeah. Cam Myers is who's favourite for the commie games? I guess it depends what Josh Kerr does, but Cam Myers is looking very good. It seems like he can handle anything. I'm yet to see him throw down a really big kick. Yeah, he's doing the classic winning races off of a fast pace, which is unfair for me to say because I was criticising him early season for saying why is he not winning these Diamond Leagues? He's taking it up too early, and now he's taking it up and he's winning them. So look, he's obviously very, very fit, but I think with all these guys, it's like, what can they do in a 334, 335 race, which then closes to become that 331, 332? Because the commies, unless he fronts run, I imagine will be, you know, I know Chariot's in it, but I imagine that commies mile will be tactical. Josh Kerr or Whiteman are not gonna make that thing a 330 race or a, you know, 348 mile race.
Unless Josh Kerr comes off the back of London and he's like, do it again.
Which we're still waiting for that field. Still waiting to see who he's up against. The men's 800, by the way, Jake Whiteman, Ben Patterson, Max Bergin, Wanyonyi and Arop. 5 stars confirmed. I think I saw somewhere Nagush was going to be in that mile, but I really haven't seen too many names in that mile. Mate, turn our attention. Let's get the predictions in for anything else you want to talk about in pre-classic quickly?
I think that's all, mate, to be honest.
It was the women's 8, which captured me. Yeah. I mean, look, the men had a decent 2 mile the night before. Yeah, Parker Wolf won that. And Sheen Almgren.
Bring back the 10K on a Friday night, mate.
Bring back the 10 on a Friday night. I agree with you, man.
Honestly, do you know what? And I sound terrible. I just moan about a sport. But watching pre-classic, I'm thinking, where's the old stadium? And where's my 10K last night? That's just like, I'm wondering about
10K.
What's not there.
Bring that 10K out. Because
like what people were saying about that England squad, but you know, words now, aren't they, mate?
Like, they're just, that's a prime opportunity. You know, Grant Fisher, Almgren, these guys. Even your Parker Walker, like these guys, they would do a 10. They would do a 10, man. Kai Robinson.
I think especially as we've got no Worlds or Olympics this year, so we're not gonna see a 10.
Well, we'll see a 10 at Euros, we'll see a 10 at commies, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean a proper 10.
Yeah, we're not gonna see a 26-30, 26-40. Well,
and the 10K, that's my favourite event. That's just kind of...
Yeah. Mate. Do you know what will be your favourite event on Friday night? The men's 5K with Alex Yee.
Is he in?
Alex
Yee.
Didn't
even see that.
Alex Yee, Monaco Diamond League in the 5,000. Jimmy Gressier, Kim Eli, Labalu, Graham Blanks, Kai Robinson, Binyam Mahari.
Yeah, 28 people.
Do you know what? It's a good field for him. It's not like,
No, it's not too good.
I know, he's got a world champion in Gressier and world medalist in Kimeli there, but...
He's not pacing?
No.
But why would he pace?
No, he's not pacing. I remember when he got announced and, yeah, this is a big... That is a very interesting move for me. Is this... that's a spanner in the works for the likes of... For the Brits who want to go to Europeans. I mentioned Damien Larkey's in the qualifying spot, but yeah, if he's only got a run, what was it, 13.08?
Yeah, but and we'll eat our words, mate, because we said, you've got to turn out to British champs if you want to be selected. E runs this, we'll be like, yeah, we want to see E.
Well, this is what takes, and again, this is, he hasn't earned his spot in that Diamond League. He hasn't. I know he's an Olympic champion in a triathlon.
He's a marathon runner. That's he's the got, only thing that
in,
he's got
in
on his
what
CV.
World? In what world does a man with a 13.13 5K PB get in this Diamond League in Monaco? Yeah. But he's got a good agent and he clearly must be in very, very good shape. And I'm not disputing the fact that I definitely want to see him in that race, and good for him. But it shows the flaws of the sport.
Yeah.
That Dave Malarkey's never getting in this race. I mean, very intrigued to see how he does. I presume this is going to be like a 12:55, 13-minute race, and then they'll probably close this one out. I imagine they'll set off sensibly and not too crazy, because Gressier was okay the other night, but you know, I think he'd be happy with 13-minute pace and kicking off of that.
Yeah.
Which is perfect for Yi, so we could see something special.
How quick does he go?
Well, if they set off at 13-minute tempo, I think he could probably sit off the back of that and he could run 13.05 or maybe even get very close. But if they set off at sort of 12.50, 12.55 tempo and he gets sucked into that first K, it's going to be very tough for him, isn't it?
You think. But he's an absolute machine, that guy.
Yeah, he is.
Like...
Yes.
So he's 13:13 PB. Is that from London Diamond League, like yonks?
No. He ran 13:18 that day. That was from last year in Belgium, where everyone ran. That was a crazy night in Belgium. So that was probably perfect race, perfect conditions, and one off hit for him. So it's just whether he can, go. He's definitely after that Euro standard. I mean, this is the thing. He sees it and he's like, if I run sub 13:08, I'm going to Euros.
Yeah,
I have no doubt.
Wow.
Anyway, that's what's coming up on Friday night. Men's steeple looks very, very good. No Albacali, but actually it's going to be wide open. Jordy Beamish in there. You've got the two Seren brothers, Kibiwot, Coetzee. Yeah, it's a Mura. It's a very good
decent field
as well. Yeah, just seeing
women have a 3K flat. Batcletti's in there. Jess Hull's in there, back from pre.
I can't help but thinking, I can't. That is a good field, actually, over the women's three. That would be a good race. Yeah, Kip Yegon. Batacletti could win that. Hailu's in there again.
And Geta, she's in that. Yeah. Interesting how she goes.
Oh, yeah. Old Agnes. Oof. Yeah, she'll be pinging off the front of that, I imagine. Yeah, I can't help but pre. Like, there's obviously no women's 15, there's no men's 15. And obviously, it's because we've had pre-classic, the 2 mile races, and we've got London Diamond League coming up, but it is a bit of a shame. Yeah, men's 1000, they do it every time, or they've started to do it a lot more over the last few years. Yeah. It's just a bit. I always moan about it.
And again, I'm not trying to just think back to the few years ago, but Monaco is the one where you're like, right, where's that 1500? This is where everyone's going to run
it. It's a record breaker, but I think it just shows you, with Josh Kerr's obviously dictated the schedule and he wants to break that record in London. So, whereas, before you'd probably see him get after something in the 1500 in Monaco, if someone was in shape, but he wants a mile, even 2:22. But that's it for the distance. There's a lot of sprints. Monaco, I think I always look forward to it, but, I mean, that men's 1000 would have been nicer as a men's 8. But otherwise, I'll be tuning in for the men's steeple and the men's 5. So, it's just good Diamond League, actually. It's a good Diamond League. Just doesn't have a 15 or an 8.
Yeah. But that's what you want, right?
At the moment, that is what we want. And then we'll look ahead. So, I mean, next week, we'll be back with seeing those London fields because, still haven't been announced yet. I think Keeley is going to be a big question mark. I think she just gets her heads down. Regroups.
I think she needs to, and I think it would be, I'd be very surprised if we see her. So, yeah. I mean, a few local meets as well. So obviously they're the Diamond Leagues. Morton Games coming up this Friday, as well. So in the 800, Henry Jonas is in there. In the mile, we've got Henry McCluckey, Adam Fogg, Piers Copeland, 5000, Scott Beattie, George Wheeler, Charlie Wheeler as well.
Ooh.
Will they actually race? Haven't seen much of those boys. Women's side, near 800, Grace Van Zagnew, Kalisa Malanga, 1500, Molly Hudson, Carrie Hughes. So Carrie Hughes having a bit of comeback post-injury. Mm. Decent fields as always from the guys over at Morton on Friday night.
Yeah, that does. I'm interested to see how those boys do in the... It's a 5K or a 3K? It is a 5K, is it? I think Morton is a...
Yeah, 5K, yeah.
Really? Oh, yeah. I mean, look, as far as 5K goes, I think everybody missed a trick at the race I was at on Saturday night up in Stirling, which, by the way, I haven't toured every university campus, but it is a stunning university campus. It's got to be the best university campus in the UK. I mean, it is beautiful there. Sort of located the foot of these big, I'll call them mountains. Probably not classified as mountains, but
big hills,
foot of these big hills. It's in a forest. It is absolutely gorgeous. And it has its own lake on campus. There's accommodation. There's a hotel. I was up at the Pursuit 5000 put on by the Stride Athletics team and the Monument Mile team. They collaborated to put it on and it was absolutely just, it was, you could see it being a very, very good event. It had World Athletics Challenger permit. And you know what? I would say the weather was, you know, while the rest of the UK is quite warm right now, the weather was absolutely perfect for a 5,000. You know, as good as going to London is to try and run a 5,000, the chances these days of it being 25 degrees plus is very, very likely. And it was 13 degrees, 14 degrees, you know, sun setting. No wind. The track is sheltered by trees. It's a four-lane track. Crowd are on top of you. Good atmosphere. It just has all the tools to run fast. And they did run fast, mate. Jacob Deacon, who I'm sure not many of you have heard of. I hadn't really heard of him. Studying out in Oklahoma State. 13:51 guy. Goes and runs 13:26. 25-second PB. Wins this thing. Did a lot of the hard running, then slipped off the pace a little bit. Of course, who pushes it on? Jake Smith goes and runs 13:29. After seeing him lead out British champs, clearly knew he was in good shape. But yeah, 13:29 for Smith. That's a massive outright PB for him, even pre all of the Red S stuff as well. So he was over the moon, and rightly so. You know, it's been a long road back for him and to PB in that fashion. And yeah, you know, and that was in Kedar Omar 13:30. So actually on British soil, I think British champs was what Malarkey ran 13:26, 13:27, but it was the fastest time we've seen on British soil for quite some time. And, you know, it's in a race where, you know, two guys are sub 13:30. That's extremely rare. And had there have been, Jacob Can was in the race, finished a little further back, suffered in the middle part of the race. But had there have been a few more bigger names, they could have run, they could have run very, very fast that night. And the same on the women's side. You know, you had a bunch of women breaking 16 minutes. It was won by a Norwegian, Holm, in 15:41. But it was a brilliant event. And I wonder if next year, you know, when you're looking at trying to eye up that 5K in July time, it is across Europe, across the UK, it is getting very, very hot. And I wonder if that, you know, more people need to think about that meet next year and get themselves up there. Because, yeah, you do pay, you run the risk of it being pissing with rain or windy. But I'll tell you what, like, yeah, when I left on Sunday, it was 15 degrees in the morning. And by the time I got home, it was, you know, 29 degrees back here. So,
yeah, if these British summers keep getting hotter and hotter, people will be flooding to us from Europe because it'll be just too hot.
I know. You know, I hear the story, you know, when everyone went to Vienna 5K a few weeks ago, and everyone goes out there and it's roasting. You know, it's absolutely roasting out there. And the same, you know, you go to places in France and Germany at the moment, and it's incredible temperatures. So
I had 45 degrees last week.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. It's just like, you can't do anything in that, can you? Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you're listening and you fancy some of this 5K talk, Sports Shoes Nike Podium in Manchester, Sunday, 16th of August. Nice road race in the summer. So get yourselves down to that. I believe entries are open. Yeah, entries are open.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, get yourself.
Get yourself down to that. And then obviously close to the time, if you're interested in, as a fan, we'll get you some start lists for that as well. But obviously still a way out. But look, these races fill up quick, so make sure you get your entries in for that. So 16th of August, Podium, Sports Shoes, Nike, Manchester.
Mm. So, mate, you've got the Morton Games this weekend. That's on Saturday, right? And Cork City as well is Cork City's tonight. So
Morton's Friday night.
Yeah, so you've got Morton and Cork City back-to-back. I was just scanning the mile there. You have got someone like Ted Higgins is in the mile. Adam Fogg's in there. So, yeah, he's running a back-to-back. And then they've got 15 split. Men's 8. Anyone reckon Cahal Dawes in there? And then, yeah, that's it from a British perspective, British interest. Women's 3K. Carrie Hughes doing that. She's got a busy weekend. Grace Copeland's in there. Izzy Fry's in there, actually. So that's going to be interesting. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot to review.
And we'll have to review the England game as well. The Norway game.
Yes. I mean, I thought for a minute our route to the final was going to be Norway and Egypt. And I was like, this is it. This is absolutely it. It's coming home. France are starting to look shaky. Argentina are out. But Argentina with a bit of magic. So,
yeah. Controversial. I think that's where we've suffered previously, is we've not had to play a good team to get to the final.
We got up for it.
And then we got to win a big game along the way to then give the guys the confidence to like get over the line.
Yeah. Like this, well, the Mexico was a big game. I do worry they were celebrating a bit too much, you know, coming out saying, some of the players coming out saying it's best day of my life. And of course it is a mega achievement, but come on, it's a round of 16 World Cup game. We've got bigger fish to fry, bigger games to play. You know, best away day of my life, Declan Rice said. We weren't there in the Azteca. I'm sure it was, but...
Well, Shearer said it was the best atmosphere he's ever seen in football, ever.
Which is... It was a great game, but I'm like, look, we've still got a lot of... there's a lot of football to be played here.
Yeah, it's recency bias, though, isn't it?
That's...
Like, after British Champs the other day, I was like, wow, that was unbelievable. That's like some of the best racing I've seen, but... Do you know what I mean?
Like, hey, one result we haven't spoken about, actually, British Champs, thinking back to that men's 15, Jake Haywood and his 3:32. And he is actually someone who has been announced for the MZ Carmile. I'm sure Arlo Ludwig will be in that MZ Carmile as well. Jake Haywood, that is your third spot for the European Championships. Neil Gawley, I think, has got too much to do. He just needs to get ready for Commonwealth Games. Jake Haywood running fast. He's finished second at British Champs. You think we're going to take Josh Kerr, Jay Whiteman? It'll be Jake Haywood. And that is a huge turnaround after a silver medal in 2022. And basically, we haven't seen him since, except for this year.
Yeah. We recorded a little mini doc, if you like, with him, didn't we, a few years ago, just about...
What year do you reckon that was? I reckon that was 2023, maybe.
About some of his injuries. So check that out on our YouTube. We don't really do much YouTube anymore, but if you're interested in more about Jake Haywood, Sunday Podcast YouTube is like two episodes, about... 10-15 minutes long, each of them, I think.
They were actually gassed, and we filmed all that off an iPhone, mate. This is pre. Yeah. We should have persisted. I should have persisted with my.
Well, we might. Maybe this will get loads of hits now. I mean, speaking of Alex Yee, actually, we recorded with Alex Yee as well, off the cuff in Loughborough.
10-300s off an iPhone. Yep.
Yeah, that got some good views, actually. Bit of clickbait in there. That was before he'd won his. It was when he won gold in the relay. I titled it Olympic gold medalist workout, and people in the comments weren't happy.
But it's facts now.
No, but it was facts anyway. He had an Olympic solo on the individual and a gold in the relay, and people were saying that was misleading. Crazy. Go check them out if you're interested. And then send us a message if you join, because we might film another workout with someone at some point.
Yeah, Alex Yee, Loughborough workout, 2022, something like that, 2023.
Yeah. 10 but the Haywood one's good. That's pretty good, actually.
Alex Yee was doing some funky stuff in the heat chamber, which we were like, oh, do you mind if we film that?
Nope.
So, yeah.
It was cool that we got to speak to his coach about like the reason behind it and stuff.
Yeah. So. He did 10-300s on the track and then 10-300s in the heat chamber, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And he just rocks up. He does barely any warm up. He just goes back.
Well, he'd probably been swimming. Do you know, that's the thing. Like, you don't need to warm up.
Very cool.
He'd probably cycle to the campus.
So yeah. Ready. He does. So I think that's everything. The only other thing I thought I'd just mention is I saw James Rhodes tweet this. I didn't follow much of the action from the England champs over the weekend, partly because I was at the Pursuit 5000 pre-classic, lots to consume. But two men in the 1500, senior England champs.
Do you know what? This is the difficulty, though, with the fact that we have Great Britain, England, for different events and different championships. Like, the only way to... I guess the only real reason to have the England champs is for commies like this year, that we should have England champs should be the commies trials.
Yeah.
That's the only way you're going to actually get good representation at that event.
It's not bad. Yeah, not a bad shout.
And obviously we're all crying out for commies selection races, right? We could have had an England champs and a British champs where we seal off a European team and seal off an England team.
I personally think that next year it will obviously be before British champs, I can imagine.
We've been saying this about the England champs for years.
Yeah.
Absolute yonks. It's had no representation.
Yeah, I'm just looking.
It's just not appealing for athletes, right? If it was busy, you'd have to get a hotel probably for most people if you're going to expect to make the final. it's going to cost you X amount of money. Like, you're not going to run quick. There's not many people there.
No. Yeah, mate. Two men. It was one in 357 and 401 for a silver medal. That is crazy in the 1500.
We should have done it. I could have chugged round in 6 minutes and
could have got yourself a bronze.
Yeah.
I mean, the 5K had eight men in.
That's better.
It's a bit better.
That's a lot better. Seriously, it's a 5K. I'm like...
Steeple final had six. That was a bit more stacked. There's quite a few men from British champs in that. There you go. Steeplechase had more runners than the 1500 final, ladies and gentlemen.
So that just tells us steeplechase is on the rise.
How about that? Yeah. The 800 did have heats. It was won by Ted Chamberlain. But yeah, the stat. I mean, look, it's funny with the England champs. The standard is, they have pretty tough standards. Off the top of my head, I don't know what the standards are, but they're pretty hard. It's definitely not open to everyone. And I saw a tweet or something a couple of weeks before England champs saying, we're suffering for entries, struggling with entries. We've lowered the standards. Please enter, you know. But by that point, it's 2 weeks ago or a week to go. It's, you know, it's on the eve of the window closing, of the entry window closing. So yeah, just thought a real shame. And it's very meaningless, isn't it? It really is. Yeah. And that is a shame.
Yeah. Cause in the cross country season, we managed to have
five in the senior women's 15. Women's eight was a straight final.
Yeah, and across country season, we seem to like manage to have like lots of different like national titles. In terms of like, you kind of got Liverpool, which is your actual proper British champs, if you like. Then you got your in the counties, and you've got your obviously your national.
Yeah, I mean, my thinking has always been the fact they're moving away from standards for British champs, the fact they sort of made those standards harder and said like, right, we want to go on ranking. I think they have the ability to open up and just say, right, top three English champs auto qualify for British champs, you know, and then you're at least going to make sure that you've got some people there probably on the cusp of qualifying for British champs. So a good level. Whereas actually you look at a lot of the people who ran England champs, then they're nowhere near qualifying for British champs. Mm. They're nowhere near.
So this is counties on the track outdoors.
Well, it might be, but yeah, you know. So, and it's funny because when you're an under 18 and under 20, England champs is massive because that's the qualification. That's your qualification for Euro Juniors, Euro Youths, World Juniors. You know, Phoebe Gill, for example, was running the under 20 women's 800. Yeah. Shakira King. That race was stacked. Yeah. It was absolutely stacked. So there were still stars there. But why were they there?
They're technically the British champs, aren't they? That's the thing.
Yeah, for them, they had to be there. You know, yeah. Phoebe Gill, Shakira King, they had to be there if they wanted to go to the World Under 20 Champs. So it's creating a reason for people to go to this because quite simply, an English medal is not enough. And that's such a shame because that's the state of the sport, that medals, people don't seem to not care.
Crazy.
Anyway, right. Mate, we won't solve that one.
No. We'll try though. We'll try and moan about it. Anyway, thanks for listening to us. It's good to be back. Hope you enjoyed the episode. We'll catch you guys next week. We'll wrap up Monaco. Hopefully we'll have more info on London. And we'll have some more guest episodes coming out too. So I hope you've been enjoying those classic episodes. Catch you guys very, very soon.